Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, July 31st, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. My name is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How about yourself, Grant?
Did you say you're doing Grant? Oh, you're doing great.
I'm doing great, Grant. I'm doing great, Grant. I didn't say I'm doing Grant great.
Ah. Well, does that mean great Grant or great grandpa? We just can't get through 20 seconds, right?
I don't know. Are you somebody's great grandpa?
No, not really. I don't want to make myself any older than I am. But the interesting thing is that the... You know, that we just can't do it, can we? We're not SD. There's no serious disease here, right?
No.
Absolutely not.
Typical.
And that's the great irony of our show, because it's pretty serious information. When you get right down to it, I don't know how you can make the jokes out of the bankruptcy. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I take it all very seriously.
I know. You rather glibly take it seriously, right?
Yes. I'm a serious glibber.
Yeah, serious glibber or glibber?
I'm a serious glibber to jibber.
See, I mean, all that silly stuff years ago when they started the women's liberation thing, I've always respected women's intelligence. I've always thought they were smarter than men. I know they'll get a lot of kudos on that. So I can never figure out that whole business. It's so orthodox, isn't it? It's really awful. But I realize in the marketplace, women didn't get paid the same salaries. So that was really the issue, was same pay grades and same amounts of money, right?
Yeah, it's just really ridiculous. But that's been a long time history of men, you know, feeling they're superior to women in so many ways. And honestly, it's just there, you know, I understand the physical aspect, although today there are probably are some women who can challenge men physically because women work out so much more and do all kinds of things that they didn't used to do. But on the most part, women are not as physically as strong as men. I mean, they're not born that way. I mean, maybe they can make themselves that way. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the possibilities are. I'm not interested in it. But
well, I know the Homer and the Amazon.
As far as intelligence and doing things in the workplace, it's ridiculous. And women still get paid less than men.
Well, you know, Achilles killed the Amazon in mythology. So they were powerful back in those days, according to the poet, the blind poet Homer, which I have a lot of issues with that. But having said all that, I also use that anecdote about, remember I tell that story about the heavyweight champion karate fellow, who is this guy who was the heavyweight champion. This was about, I'd say 20 years ago, fought the champion woman in karate, and you know what happened, right? He gave one kick and kicked her out of the ring, and she almost died, had to resuscitate her. So that was the best woman, the best karate fighter. See, so it gets to be ridiculous. I mean, they have all these movies where women are great karate fighters. I realize some of them are pretty good, but I mean, I don't want to get into all that business. But even though I'm sort of into it there, but I still think, who cares, right? The bottom line is that we discuss our topics on the show to try to polish up the order that we have internationally. And some people have the repugnant phrase, the New World Order. And it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. That's why I always use world order that we've had since 1930. The Geneva Convention really put the world order on the map under a bankruptcy. You see what I mean? And then we had long discussions this morning with my UK group why we're in a bankruptcy and why it will maintain, because the issue with the mathematics factor, meaning we don't have approximate mathematics in banking. If we did have that, we could actually get into the credit part of contracts law. In other words, we could use credit paper, but the problem we have right now is the Federal Reserve note is a debt instrument, okay? And because of that bankruptcy issue. So that means if we were going to use certified money, that would have to go back to gold certificate or silver certificate. But you see, the reason why I don't espouse that, and I'm not really talking about specie currency for the record, everybody. I want to make sure that I'm very adamant about that doesn't work. And because, remember what I've often said in terms of the matters of two world wars that were created because of specie currency. In other words, the gold would be warehoused, and then a country would try to start a Yurgomiki, good word for war, to try to get that gold reserve. They would try to get it, and if you controlled the gold reserve, then you would control the money, and then you control the world pretty much if you're in a monetary system. So that's why we had two world wars, because they were trying to control the gold reserves. So what happened is when they took that away from the backing, they got rid of specie currency at the first UN meeting at Bretton Woods in 1945, but it was on the heels of the 1930 Geneva Convention. That's where it all started. But remember, in those days, the communications was a lot slower, so it took several years to get this in place in reference to the idea of having a bankrupted world and in terms of no specie currency to make it workable. See, because it's not workable. Specie currency is a nice idea and ideal, but in practice, it doesn't work. And what am I always talking about, Gabrielle? We have theory, law, and practice, right? So you can see that practice and law are far removed, really, in terms of subject matter. See, subject matter criteria doesn't exist in terms of law and practice. But practice is what our lives are about. We're here in practice. We're trying to maintain a civilization, hopefully, that isn't going to go to destruction. I mean, a lot of people get online and they do the doom and gloom thing, and boy, I'll tell you, it's out there. It's a real mess in terms of thinking it's going to end tomorrow and all the nonsense, the political stuff. Boy, you give one subject matter and people just go crazy with that. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I always recommend stay away from that stuff because you've got doom and gloomers all over the place that have the end of the world tomorrow. See, so I recommend for people just to ignore that stuff because it's not true at all. We're going to be here for a long time, for better or worse, so to speak. And hopefully not the latter part. Hopefully the former, the better part of it. And I really think that way because being a cornucopious like I am, there's abundance for all. You know, my mentor, Paul Twitchell, his pseudonym was Wallace Waddles. You all heard me talk about Science of Getting Rich, and then we have that the higher Sanskrit word Zika, which is very important because it works. I mean, it might sound silly to the entity to a certain degree, but really, are children silly? A lot of times they are. What's the joke we make about ESP, right? Correct,
right.
Gabriella?
Yeah,
extremely silly people. So we want to have some fun. Albeit, you know, we're talking about like serious subjects in terms of international bankruptcy, which isn't really a fun thing per se, but in reality it's necessary because we've been in a bankruptcy since 1930. How long has that been? Almost 100 years, right? Or, well, you know, 85
years.
Yeah. Okay, so we've 86 years, right? So it's been a while that we've been in this bankruptcy. So we've been able to really maintain, but a lot of people say, we're really not maintaining, we're going downhill, but I beg to differ. You see what I mean? Albeit it's not perfect, okay, but we've still been able to sort of get by. It's that I always bring up the Maxwell Maltz psycho-cybernetics. Like it's a cybernetic thing of inherent steermanship. For instance, we write the ship because it's the nature of working with the entity in terms of sustained development. Or maybe it's a matter of state of consciousness. I'm here. I have a positive view of things. I try to ignore the negatives because even if you look at these things online, they turn into mud after a while. You know, we've had a lot of conversations about how people bring these points across, and then you look at it closely, and it all turns to nothing after a while. It's kind of like the joke about, we were talking this morning about physics and the laws of uncertainty. Well, if it's all uncertain, why are you going and being negative about it? Why don't you just change your view and be positive about it? You see what I mean? So when you look at these things closely, it all goes to nothing. You know, it goes into the void, if anything. So change your concepts, change your attitude, and you'll change the world. That's why we work on this on a constant basis every single day, and we do it weekly and do these weekly shows, because if you get a better attitude, a better positive attitude, you might change the world. I'm saying might. Who knows? Because we've talked many times about societies eventually are destroyed. You say, well, that's kind of a doom and gloom type thing, but not necessarily now in 100,000 years. But 100,000 years might come pretty quickly. That's kind of funny, isn't it? When you think about it?
Yeah, it could. Time goes by pretty quickly.
Pardon me?
Sometimes time goes by pretty quickly.
I can't agree.
Sometimes time goes by pretty quickly. We're thinking about future generations. Okay, we think that's a long way off, but then what kind of legacy do we leave for people?
Right, well, that's the whole point. What's the quality of life that we're leaving? And why are we put in certain situations? And that's always a question, why? Then what's that old cliche? It's not our business to reason why, it's ours but to do or die, which is negative in a sense, right? Because you can't really make changes, supposedly. But you do. We do it on a constant basis. If man is a creator, and he really is, and no matter what the Orthodox say, that you, the Orthodox views about he's just a lowly worm who's a laborer that retires, watches television for 10 years and dies, okay, which is really lousy when you think about it. But if you listen to what I have to say on these shows, then you can get inspired by things. And people say, why is Grantham Taylor Hughes so inspirational? Well, I think the truth inspires things. Getting to the truth as much as we can, as quickly as we can, and target that and look around us and not go with all the remplissage, the fluff that's around, all the masks and the nonsense that's out there, and get behind the scenes of what's really going on. And behind the scenes is you. You see, it's your power to change things. I sound like Zig Ziglar or something, right?
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Motivator this week. Oh, Mr. Motivator, right?
Pretty funny.
Well, you know, I've never thought of myself as a motivator. I never thought of that. But in a way, I guess we all are to a certain degree, because we have to motivate ourselves to really be happy, because it's so easy. When you look around you, sometimes it's easy to get depressed, but you got to watch out for that, see? And that's why I keep saying to people, look, you're the creator. What do you want to create? They make fun of the vision boards and their goal posters and all that. And they make they always put everything down that may be successful. But if you talk to successful people, they're usually of good cheer. You know, we talk to business owners and entrepreneurs and what have you, and they all seem to be upbeat. You know, there was a gal that worked for a certain company that they let go after a while. But while she was there, she was saying that, look, there's no downturn in anything. It's just your attitude and the way things are. And I thought, boy, that's really brilliant. And people like that need to be listened to. And we need to nurture those very positive attitudes. Albeit I'm not really into positive thinking per se, but in one sense of the word, it's true. But again, you can be naive too. That positive thinking thing really doesn't take into account at least looking at things that may be legitimately negative that may warrant some attention. But too much attention on it, now you're just sliding into the doldrums. You're sliding downhill when you just work on it indefinitely on something that would appear to be, it really is nothing when you get right down to it. See, And it's mostly intuition. Maybe that's what I'm talking about here. It's mostly how you feel about things. And if your feelings are strong, you have a strong intuition, you have a strong first impression. I always tell people, go with your first impression, but usually you're going to circle back to it anyway. You know, you second guess yourself and can third guess yourself and keep thinking, yeah. And then eventually it's always your first impression. So if people would do that, they have a stronger intuition and be more confident on how they think. But they don't do that. See, it's an over-analysis. The psychologists say that we have 72,000 thoughts per day, okay? And that means every 3 seconds we have a complete thought. We have a first, second premise, and a denouement, like they say in en français. You know, you have a conclusion. Mm-hmm. So you do that 72,000 times per day. Boy, that's a lot of thinking. That's a lot of subterfuge. And in the East, they call it karma, if you will. And you create all this imagery. It plagues people on a constant basis. And it doesn't make people happy in that process. That thinking process can be a great burden. Okay, that's why we always recommend people do some sort of introspective prayer if you're a religionist, or do meditation, or we call it contemplation. Do some form of that each day so you can get off the thought wagon. The thought is in lower states of consciousness. But if you can raise that, sometimes you can get some relief. Like most people are plagued even in their dream states. You know, it's this constant plague of imagery that's pounded on people on a daily basis. So you have to get into like a void, like the Buddhists call it the void, not necessarily forever, because they start to clearing the whole idea of the Tao of physics, like they do the no thing, and then that becomes their way of life, and then they become irresponsible to society. See, those religions are really irresponsible to the industrial complex, but there's balance in these things. See, there's the imbalances in the technology, like I've talked many times about, the Silicon Valley was supposed to be creating invariants, and they weren't supposed to be dilly-dallying in the variable worlds. Okay, so we still have that. See, we don't have invariants. And then, I ran into it. Guess what? You heard me talking about this week, right? The Tesla company, right? Oh, no, please, Grantham, don't break me with the Tesla car. Oh, God. I am so twerked when I found out about that. Oh, jeez. Like, you got to read the book Entropy. I'm going to, Jeremy Rifkin, 1985, still timely, very important work. People need to read the book Entropy, and they'll understand that the Tesla car is a burden on the infrastructure. When everybody's so smug driving around their Tesla, their electronic car, an electric car, whatever, you're talking about a worse car than a gasoline-powered. People say, Grantham, how can you say that? Read the book Entropy, and you'll see what I'm talking about. If the interior of the Tesla uses no plastic, then you've got something. But I assure you, guaranteed, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to call the Tesla people and say, do you use any plastic in your interiors anywhere? They use rubber tires, don't they? I don't think those tires on a Tesla car are made out of silicon, are they? What do you think?
Yeah, I understand that. So, I mean, okay. You know, it's, yeah, I'm sure. But the whole thing about it is you're plugging in and using electricity, which is, you know, coming from.
Superb. Great. Good comment.
Right.
You're right. Because it's petroleum electricity. See, if it was pure electricity.
It's very cheap for people. Well, it's very cheap for people. Perhaps it's cheaper for people. I'm guessing it probably is. But it's still, as you said, it's still a burden on the infrastructure. So it's
absolutely
not really that beneficial. So until they come up with something else,
it's worse than the gasoline powered, because you're still a peripheral of OPEC. Jamie, you
mm-hmm.
still got to plug that thing in, and our electricity system is on OPEC. It's on oil time. See what I mean? And the factories do most of the pollution, not the cars. See, so Tesla has to build Tesla factories, right? A Nikola Tesla would turn over in his grave if he saw that. It's just ridiculous, you know. It's so outrageous they call it Tesla anyway. Somebody, the Tesla Foundation or Trust should sue the crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, I'm good today, aren't I? I'm good to go.
Well,
right?
They probably pay the Tesla Foundation to use the name. So, you know,
well,
we have
I don't
to talk
know.
About
I have no idea.
About
I have
green
no idea.
Materialism here.
But hey, I don't even have to investigate it. Thank you very much. I don't have to waste my time with it because they plug into the electricity, transformers, you know, and they're all run by oil. See, so there you go. Thank you very much. You saved me a bunch of time and messing with nonsense. You reminded me of that. So tragic. It's terrible. And people say, no, the hybrids are so great. You know, the Prius. I said, no, they're not. They are not. And I've tried to explain this to people, but I fall on deaf ears a lot of times. But still, read the book Entropy, everybody. Do that this week. I highly recommend it. It's a great book. The only flaw in it is he doesn't give an alternative to his discovery. Okay? He doesn't give an alternative energy source because he didn't really have one at the time. But he was doing a expose of the alternative of all the energy, power grids and power sources. It was a really great expose in showing that it was high entropic, that it's a destructive mechanism, but he didn't give an alternative because he didn't have it, and the alternative would be rheostatics. That was my alternative. But we're not really doing that yet. See, and people say, well, why aren't you doing that? Well, you know, there's my excuse, right? I really didn't give an excuse. I just bailed, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know the reason for it.
What's that?
I know you what? Have a reason for it.
Well, I mean, the reason is attention. It's like a focus and actually doing it. Like I said earlier, we're kind of on the edge all the time in society, and we really don't need to be on the edge. For instance, they're saying, well, the system is failing. And I'm saying, well, I disagree with that. But it's not necessarily perfect. But who's talking about an ideal? I mean, I talk about an ideal, but do we practice the ideal? Well, what do we have? Theory would be the ideal. Law would be what we do in our society and contracts law. And then practice is not even close, all right? But the practice is sustainable as it is. Albeit we've got 2/3 of the earth starving to death, is that sustainable? According to Alan Toffler, it wasn't, but that was the 1970s, and at that time, he was predicting 11 billion people on the planet was unsustainable. But where are we at? Around 7.5 billion. We're on the edge with that. You see, but what happened after that? Well, zero population growth and things like that kept populations from exploding. And so we actually are at a point where Toffler was thinking we'd be beyond 11 billion people. He was real concerned about that in the 70s. But there's a cybernetics issue in terms of population, you see, that actually came into being in terms of the future. Like they have the eschatology, which is a study of the future. Now they have universities are studying that subject now, but they're studying the future, right? But then again, when you're studying the future now, doesn't mean empirically that it's going to happen that way. Probably never. Like meteorologists studying mist. Let's study mist, okay? Or like future Capra quit the whole physics thing and wrote the Tao of Physics, right? He quit because they were building these superstructures like they have the thing in CERN, Switzerland. You have a 7-mile metal donut, right? It cost a $20 billion project, a huge, gigantic waste of time. And what are they studying? Invisibility. They're studying the atom. We don't see it with our naked eye. You see, we have to get big microscopes and all this stuff. What that just costs so much money. It's just unbelievable. What incredible waste there is, okay? At the same time, I'm not condemning it. I am condemning it. But it still seems like we're able to get by, even with ridiculous things like that collider. It's really awful. And then they give a Nobel Prize to Dr. Higgs for that. The Higgs particle, you know my joke about, they call it the Higgs particle / God particle. Oh, is Dr. Higgs God? Well, of course he's God, right? I gave him a Nobel Prize last year for that too. A dreadful thing in certain Switzerland. It's really horrible when you look at it, but they're all having parties. And, oh, it's just wonderful. We found the Higgs particle at 212 Kelvin, and everything is wonderful. We found the God particle, right? And then the answer to it the next day was, well, we have to continue our research, right? Well, what are you looking for now, the devil? They found God, but now they're going to look for the demons, right? Oh, I'm good today. You got to review this tape. This is a good tape. I like it. I know. I am a trip. There's no doubt about it. Well, we've got about 4.5 minutes left. I'm out of gas. How about you, Gabrielle? Do you have any gas there?
Well, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm out of gas because I haven't been driving the Tesla.
Oh, you're driving a Tesla, right?
Yes, I am. I'm driving a Tesla, and I'm out of gas.
Oh, boy. And they're so smug, the drivers. They drive around looking like they think they're in really something great, you know. It's really horrible. It's horrible. It really is. It's terrible. It really upsets me a great deal. Maybe it's grist for my mill, right? Gets me fired up. Keep me young, right? Keep me young and fired up.
Yeah, I suppose.
Exactly. So when I see them, I have to roll up the windows so I don't have to look at them. the Tesla,
yeah.
Right? God, terrible. Stop it, people. Stop buying Teslas. People just knew things. It just takes so much work, doesn't it, to express the facts of the matter. It's just amazing. And when you have the facts at your fingertips, it would be nice if people would listen. But then they go out and spend millions of dollars, probably billions of dollars, to create a new automobile. I mean, boy, what were they thinking about? Not much. There's not much thought processes. And then they wonder why societies fail. And then people just wonder, well, why did it fail? God, well, hello? You know, I'm howling in the wind trying to say, well, here's why. Here's the details of why it's going on. And I'm glad that people listen to what I have to say. It's important. Being the recommendibus, right? The last say. Grantham, Taylor Hughes, the last say. In the face of Rush Limbaugh, right? And others like Tony Robbins, give me a break. Here's the advertisements on the billboard saying, I'm not your guru. Well, thanks, Tony, for telling me that. Here's my check, shut up. Oh, boy. Are you there, or did you leave?
Is Rush Limbaugh still around? Is he still doing
Yeah, I think so. I never listened to it. It's just silly stuff, really is. It's supposedly you're a conservative Republican, and he doesn't have a clue about the subject matter at all. Not even a clue. You know, that's hours of discussion there. Thank goodness I only have 2 minutes left. Yes, 2 minutes left. What can you do in 2 minutes? Well, I can sing a song. Heaven forbid.
Yeah, that's not true. You're a great singer.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. She's heard me sing, but, you know, so anyway. All right, so we're getting down towards the end. Gabriella, thanks, dear, for being here each week. I really appreciate your presence and your commentary. It's always special, especially today. You saved me a whole lot of work by plugging in the Tesla, right? Plug in your car,
yeah,
right?
I said anything.
Plug
well,
in
you know,
oil.
The subject has to be right for me.
Yeah, plug your cars into the oil business. Tesla, you're plugging into the oil business. You get that? God. It just shows something else. All right, so I want to thank everybody for being here, the journeymen that come each week to listen. I really appreciate your presence. It's very important. I can't do this without you. And I really appreciate the new people tremendously. We have a lot of great people around the world that really appreciate the good cheer that we bring, and hopefully we can do that. And a kind of a serious discussion. I mean, the irony of all that, the irony of it. So I'm trying to milk 20 seconds. Can I do that if I bring in a cow, right? But I'm not into dairy.
It's
See,
not
I'm
a problem.
Raw vegan.
I don't think people will be upset if you end 20 seconds short. I don't think anybody's going to monitor that closely.
Well, you just helped get rid of 10 seconds, so thank you very much, Gabrielle. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Oh, my. Anyway, so we didn't get to any of my main platform of health sovereignty, Solvency and AP and Ghetto. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. See you next week, and have a great week, and goodbye for now.